You're listening to KRSY AM 1230, Alamogordo.
Meow, 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 meow.
Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And on the other end of the inner tubes, who we got there?
We have Chandler, the jabbering coon cat, broadcasting from the wilds of Maine.
Yeah, from Elkton, Maine. Yeah.
Well, you know, man, it was really cool. I came home today. My mom and sisters are up visiting, and they were sitting in the backyard, and I pulled into my driveway, and they're waving to me. They're like, shh, shh. And I'm like, what? What's going on? And I look over, and there's a doe just standing in my yard, standing there. You know, I've seen them a couple of times, and usually as soon as they see us, they bolt. This one stayed there for like 5 minutes. I grabbed my camera. I got a brand new camera. It's awesome. Snapped a couple pictures and put it on the Face Beefs.
Yep. And you're coming to us today via Skype, and you were talking about this program Blink, and I wanted to correct you. This is a good teaching hospital moment. There is a free Mac version. If you search on the Mac store for Blink Lite or something like that, there is a free version of it.
All right, man. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, we're on the total search for the perfect free thing to connect one of us to another, because, you know, Comrex has cost about $1,400. I ain't going to buy 14 of those or 12 of those. And there's another program that costs about $200 that called Audio Compass that Nima and I used to use, and I'm not going to buy 12 copies of that. But, you know, Skype is not perfect, but it works when it works. And when it doesn't work, it's kind of clunky. But I tried some other stuff today. I tried something. I'm not even going to say what it is. But we are looking for programmers, if there's any programmers out there who want to help the Freedom Fiends. And we did add a station today. We're not on it.
Yay.
We're not on it till Saturday. But I just like saying the name of the town. It's Alamogordo, New Mexico. Alamogordo.
That just kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it's I was thinking, like, why does that sound familiar? And then I remember I looked it up, and it's where they first tested the A-bomb. So it's a town full of radioactive glowing cow houses, I think.
Well, I suppose that could be fun. Why?
You know what cow houses? You know what that's from?
Do tell.
It's from Breaking Bad, when they first go out to the desert in New Mexico to cook meth, and They get up on the mesa and look around, and he's like, you see anything? He's like, nah, there's no people, just a couple of cow houses a few miles out. And he's like, cow
That's
houses?
That's right, I do
and
remember
he's like, yeah,
that.
Cow houses, where the cows live.
Such a great show.
Yep. So you have some topics you want to discuss, and I think the first one is... what is the first one? It is something about welfare cash for weed. What is this
yes.
about?
Yes. Well, apparently in Colorado, where weed is legal now, folks that get welfare and TANF benefits, they, of course, now you have yep. EBT cards for yep. all that, because yep. it's too shameful to actually use the food stamps.
And well, it's also because people sell food stamps, and it's probably a little harder to sell an EBT card with your name on it. I remember in San Francisco back when I was not 20 years sober, I'm 20 years sober. This was a few years before that. Let's just put it that way. I remember walking through certain neighborhoods and hearing there'd always be like a black dude going, cash money from Mama-san. And he was like the barker for the Asian lady who would own a grocery store and, you know, would take like, you know, and he'd walk you over to her, and then you'd have to give him a couple food stamps. And then she would give, well, not me. I mean, I wasn't on food stamps, but people told me this is how it worked. But I saw the Barker guys, and it was like they would give something like $60 for $100 worth of food stamps.
Yeah, I can remember growing up, you'd see people that would give you you know, $2 worth of food stamps for a dollar worth, you know, yeah, of FRNs and stuff. And they'd figure it out that way. So, and it's usually so they could go buy booze or cigarettes.
Yeah. And this was probably whatever, a little bit better than 2-to-1 because it was going straight to the source. It was like the lady owned a grocery store, so she could turn it over and not have to go through someone else, you know?
Well, there you go. That's the market at work.
So anyway, can you buy weed with EBT cards? You know,
well, apparently you can. Now, it's, of course, in true government fashion, Colorado has enacted a, oh, what did they call it? It's an emergency, basically, law now, I guess. They enacted it in the last session. They're attempting to pass a bill to restrict anyone who uses their TANF cards to buy marijuana. And if you get caught, like, it locks your card out or whatever. But it's so silly because there's like $124 million in TANF money from the federal government dispersed throughout the state. And the marijuana withdrawals only account for like $500,000. But of course, it's a crisis, you know, even though they legalized it and everything, they've got to go and create another law to restrict us.
So do these EBT cards, can people take cash out of a machine with them, or they can only buy food with them? They can buy cash. It's like, it's your welfare check, not your food stamps, right?
Right. Some of them you can do a cash withdrawal, but usually, like, let's say, from what I understand, like, let's say you have $100 in, you know, food benefits or TANF or whatever it is, you can withdraw like 10% of that in cash. Sometimes, not always. I don't really know how it works exactly because I don't.
Yeah, I know that Republicans were getting really upset because there were actually like strip clubs and casinos that took these cards.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah,
you just can't buy like you know, hot food and beer, you know, stuff like that, but you can buy any other type of food. So I would imagine, you know, if they're serving bags of chips and whatever at strip clubs, you could probably use that. It's so ridiculous though. Like, these cats in government will complain about the abuses and the fact that we're giving out welfare, and I'm not for welfare by any stretch,
nor am I,
but these guys are such hypocrites because they'll complain about the few million dollars that we give out in welfare benefits. But corporate welfare, the war machine, I mean, when you compare it, it's not
war,
a real comparison.
War, I mean, yeah, welfare is like 1% of 1% of 1% of 1% of the military budget.
Yeah.
You know, and most Republicans would say, and that's too much. But the other thing that's really hypocritical to me that really bugs me a lot is, and again, I can't stress strongly enough how against all forms of welfare I am, but I do notice the hypocrisy of Republicans that want the drug war and want to throw people into a cage. And I'm paraphrasing one of the guys in Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, that movie I made, who points out, Shane Sheed points out that, you know, a lot of Republicans are against welfare, but they love the idea of throwing someone in a cage, which basically, you know, if you give someone some welfare and food stamps, you're giving them like $500 a month or something. If you're putting someone in prison, you're paying for their food, their clothes, their housing.
Yeah, you're paying like $45,000
their medical care. Yeah, it's more than a college,
minimum.
More than like an Ivy League college education. So, yeah.
Well, I found it interesting. I know you've been talking about Pat Buchanan lately and how he's finally started to come around. And he, even back in my conservative days, I always did like that cat. But it's kind of cool to see he's finally coming around, maybe eventually before he dies.
I don't think he's just finally coming around. He's been, for the past few years, he's been in favor of ending the war on drugs.
Yeah, and he's always been anti-war. In fact, I think it wasn't his last book, but it was the book before, where he basically came out and said that World War II was totally unnecessary.
That's a pretty bold one for a Republican pundit.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and he got a lot of flack for that one, like on the talk show circuits and the talk radio circuits. He got a lot of flack for that. But if you actually listen to his case, you know, he would summarize the whole book in, you know, like 10-minute segments or whatever, and he did a really good job. I started to read the book, and, you know, it reeks of statism, of course, but he does make a good point. You know, he talks about some of the things that we talk about. So, yeah, you know, I mean, he always has been kind of there. He's more in that Goldwater conservative vein than a lot of so-called Republicans and conservatives nowadays.
Wasn't he an advisor for Reagan?
He was an advisor for Nixon and Reagan. So, yeah. I mean,
yeah. Well, you know, it's pretty easy to trace the no government talk that Republicans talk so well and don't follow up on very well.
It comes from our favorite cat.
Yeah, Goldwater's speechwriter Carl Hess, who was an actual anarchist. He believed no government was the best government, and he wrote some of the most stunning speeches and quotes that are attributed to Goldwater, including that one about extremism in the
in defense of liberty is no vice.
Yeah,
he was high on hash
when he was high on hash and eating a roast beef sandwich. I heard him say somewhere. Yeah, and you know, that kind of stuff like really resonated with people who were sick of the post FDR, you know, steal everything and give it away, and the government is your federal family kind of stuff. And you know, it resonated, but it was like nobody was consistent about it until Ron Paul, and nobody since has been consistent about it except Ron Paul. And you know, what happened was, I believe what happened was Reagan. I know that Reagan was a Democrat. He was a Hollywood liberal. He was an actor. And he was friends with John Wayne. I think John Wayne went to him on behalf of the Republican Party and said, hey, we'd like you to read a script and run for office. You know, and I think that people were paraphrasing Hess's talking points without Reagan adopting, you know, any of even Goldwater's policies. But Goldwater never had a chance beyond governor of Arizona.
Well, and we've talked about it too. I actually read the Reagan diaries, and it's funny. I'm sure that those are they're ghostwritten. I'm sure they're moderately edited. But Reagan had a far different view than is portrayed in the media. And he, you know, they portray him as this conservative hero, which he really wasn't. But, you know, he had a more, I would say, classical liberal view. And once he got into office, that was all just shot down.
Yeah, they all throw it out the window. What is it? Republicans are... they're anarchists when they're running for office, and they're Genghis Khan once they're elected. And the same is true of Democrats. Democrats are friendly when they're running for office and horrible when they're elected.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brainworm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bathroom.
Yeah, you sound like you're in a bathroom, brother.
From a windowless bathroom. Yeah. Did you say you have this same effects unit, the Lexicon MX200, or were you thinking of getting one?
I would like one. I have the Alesis Multimixer 8, which you can do those effects. The only thing that is kind of the only downfall is you have that one knob that has the 100 effects, and you have to turn it, and you have to find the effect that you like and set it to that.
This works kind of similarly, although it's got two different effects panels, and you can program your own in if you want. I haven't tried that yet because there's so many to play with. It's also a little quieter than the effects, you know, a little less noise than the effects on that unit.
You know what I want to try, and I've been working with this experimenting when we were doing our show, and I need to fool around with it more. I'm more on the software end, and I love Native Instruments and all the instruments and sound effects processors that they have are amazing, and you can actually run them.
But this hardware device, the Lexicon MX200, can be used as a VST plugin in software.
Yeah, that's what you were telling me. Yeah. That's like half the reason I'd like to get it.
Which is, you know, kind of good because it's good to have outboard gear doing some of your processing. So, it, you know, you don't use as much memory on your computer when you're doing stuff live.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, and even when you're composing music, because I have, when I do a lot of my music production, I use Logic Pro because I'm on a Mac. And you'll run the VSTs. And after a while, you know, if you have like five instruments going and you're recording live on the fly, it does start to suck up some resources.
Yeah. Well, do you know what a mix minus is?
Refresh my memory.
Okay. I mean, my mixer, my Giganto Knobtron 10,000 Zenix mixer.
Knob.
Yeah. It has all these effects in it. But the thing is, I can't use them on the show because I'd have to choose between me hearing them only and the radio audience hearing them only. And I need to hear them to be able to manipulate them properly with my voice. So,
well, did I ever tell you what happened the first time we tried to do a live show on our podcast?
You sent out something different than what you were hearing?
Well, no, we went on Mixler, which is a really good program if you set it up right. But the thing was, is I was running, I had the old mic that you had recommended, the, what was it, the Nady, I think it was.
Oh, the $15 mic? Yeah, it sounds pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I was running that through my mixer, through Skype, and we did a whole show live. I said, all right, we're going to try this live thing. You guys should tune in and listen, tell us what you think. And we went through a whole show, and it wasn't till like about an hour and 15 minutes in till I figured out that the audience could only hear my co-hosts on Skype. Yeah. They couldn't hear me.
That's so basically a mix minus done wrong. Mix minus, you have to do a mix minus on a mixer to do a radio show connected remotely with a network like GCN, because GCN is sending me music cues that are automated to an atomic clock. And, you know, to know when to go in and out of segments. And I'm sending them back my audio mixed with your audio without that music. Because if I sent that music back, it would echo because there's, you know, little bit of latency between my end and their end, just because that's how the internet works. And so what you have to do is you have to set up a different mix for, I have a different mix for you and I to listen to. It's the same mix you and I are listening to. And a different mix that I'm sending to GCN. And not all mixers can do that. That I don't think that little mixer can do that. Maybe yes, it can.
I think it can, but you've got to kind of rework it.
Yeah, it has to have different, if it has more than one bus, it's called. And, you know, picture this, okay? Like, if you're on, when you're on stage with a band in a club that has a good sound system, and, you know, like, say the drummer says, yeah, give me bass and vocal and no guitar in my monitors. And the guitarist is like, you know, wants something else in his monitor. Those are different bus. They're getting different buses. So,
and I understand that through software. Like, I told you I collect bootlegs, and you know which band I collect the most. And
Nine Inch Nails.
Of course. And there was a couple of shows that were done in Japan recently, and they were the IEM feeds, and that's exactly what they were. And you could definitely hear the mix because certain parts were stronger.
What's IEM? Like, instrument monitor? Electronic?
In-ear monitor.
Ah, okay.
So that's like what the band members will wear to hear the other band members.
There's actually a bootleg, like you can find 10th generation cassettes of it. Probably find it on Pirate Bay now, but it was a really famous one of the monitor mix of Paul McCartney and Wings, and it was like Linda McCartney's monitor mix. So she was like way louder than everything else in it, and she was really, really off key in it. It was really funny.
Well, a lot of these mixes, you'll hear their Trent's IEM, so you'll hear the click track, and you'll hear the mix, but it won't be great. And what one guy did was he mixed the IEM monitor with a
Soviet style Leviathan trying to keep track of all. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah, this is Michael Dean. And there was an interesting aberration in that segue going to the break there, to the market. And I blame the government.
Me too. That's my go-to point, man.
I actually just blame computers because computers, as I say, are an interesting mix of science and voodoo. They don't always work the way you want them to. I mean, there's too many zeros and ones, man. It's too much math. Yes.
Sometimes they're possessed. Hey, have you ever noticed, like, I think you've seen my setup, and I have multiple computers and monitors and devices on this giant table.
It's like the holodeck.
Yeah. And, you know, I've never understood, and maybe somebody can explain this to me. You have these wires that all go to, you know, the computers, the routers, the power plugs and everything, and they pretty much stand still. How is it that they get tangled so easily?
Cats. I mean, cats,
they don't move.
Cats.
Well, okay. All right. It's the cats.
It's the cats and the little dust elves. And we want to do a shout out to our friend Michelle in Maine who's listening. We'd like to welcome her to Liberty. This is her first libertarian audio thing. And we're just talking about equipment. She's going to be like, what? I don't play music. I don't want to hear this. What is this?
Yep.
So she's in, I believe it's Mooston, Maine is the name of the town. Hello, Michelle.
Right.
Your friend Michelle. Right. Yep. So we're talking about equipment and gear and stuff. And don't worry, we'll get off this really quick and talk about what Obama did to you today.
And, oh, man, that cat's so square.
I know, he's so square. You know, I've been watching this movie, this show, The Wire, that Nikki Darling turned me on to, which is kind of weird because, like, The Wire's always been there. And it kind of meets all my criteria of what I like in media. I really like stuff that, like, takes place in the, you know, in the contemporary, like, you know, 50 years in the past to 20 years in the future or something, that does not have any magic, has a small ensemble cast, has good writing, good acting, good direction, good cinematography, good editing, good use of music. And the other thing is I like stuff that is from TV, where there's, you know, 60 to 150 episodes of it already existing that I can get on the Netflix or the tubes or the torrents or something. And because I like to binge watch stuff, and I've tried to watch The Wire before, because, like, I really like Treme, and it's created by the same guy, and people said, oh, if you like all these other things, you'll like The Wire. And
so
it's a cop show, and I can watch cop shows. I have the ability to have suspension of statism. And I watched like half an episode of it once and didn't really dig it. And then Nikki Darling recommended it, and I respect her opinion. So I started watching it last night, and I am seriously hooked. But I was reading about it on Wikipedia, and this kind of bummed me out. Barack Obama says it's his favorite show, but probably for different reasons than for me. Like, for me, I like it because the cops aren't really the heroes, and the drug dealers are kind of more the heroes, or maybe they're the villains, but they're, you know, there's no, like, moral judgment in the fact that people are drug dealers in it. I think Barack Obama likes it because he likes to see young black men arrested and beaten up.
I think that's it too.
Because if he didn't like that, he would legalize pot right now, you know?
Yeah. Have you watched True Detective yet?
I have it sitting here in my hand, season one, disc one.
Oh, dude,
I got it from Netflix, but it's going to have to wait until I get through 54 more episodes of The Wire and I'm done with it, because,
all right.
Yeah, you recommended that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I think you'll like it. I actually watched the whole season except for the last episode. I'm like, I want to watch the last one, but I know the second season's not out. And the other show, and I know you're going to think I'm a nerd for this, but I'm telling you, man, you got to check out Millennium.
You know, we sound like a couple old ladies talking about their soaps.
Right on.
Did you see what Omar did today on The Wire? I can't believe that.
Oh, man. You know what? It was horrible. When I was growing up, if I, like, got sick and had to stay home from school, I usually stay with my grandmother. And you know what that meant? I had to sit there and watch soap operas. Yeah, that's what she called them, the stories. I gotta watch my stories. Oh, it's horrible.
No, I that's a little hipper than me when I had to stay with my grandmother. My grandmother didn't have a TV because they were evil, and staying with my grandmother meant listening to her read from the Bible.
Well, yeah, it's almost as bad.
And she didn't really bring the story to life. I mean, there's a lot of murder, adultery, infidelity, sex, violence, war, conflict in the Bible. You know, all the things.
Funny you should say that, though.
Story, but she kind of read it kind of dry, you know.
It's funny you should say that, because when my kid was a kid, she's still a kid. I call her kid. Anyway, when my daughter was really young,
she's an adult. I met her. She's like 16, right?
She's 15, and yeah. She is very mature for her age.
Yeah, I sure. She's cool, man.
Yeah. Well, when she was young, I read all kinds of stuff to her, and we tried the religion thing for a while. It wasn't our cup of tea, but whatever. And I would read her the Bible stories, and of course they were the kid versions or whatever, but a lot of them were Old Testament. And I remember one night.
How do you make the Old Testament kid-friendly, man? That thing is scary as hell.
That's what I'm saying, man. Because, like, I remember one night I was reading them to her, and she said, "Dad, these are really scary and violent." You know, and they were supposed to be the kid-friendly version. I couldn't help but laugh. You know what's really funny is when I first got my daughter when she was two, because I've been a single dad for a very long time.
And thank you for your service. That's pretty rare, a single dad these days.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I hear that a lot. And to me, it sounds so ridiculous when people say that, because I'm like, what are you going to do? You know, you brought this person into the earth, and yeah, things didn't work out with both parents, but what are you going to, like, abandon them or leave them with somebody else? It just seemed like the natural thing for me to do.
When you were doing the abortion panel at Porkfest, and one of the questions was, you know, what have you done other than have an abortion, you know, what have you done for it? You know, it was for the pro-life side. And I think you were kind of on that side, and, you know, you didn't even think to say, I'm a single dad. I came up and whispered it to you. And then you were like, Oh yeah, I should say that. I would have led with that in that debate. If I were you, I would have been, I'm a single dad. Actually, I would have led, with, that I've had a vasectomy, which I'm glad Bill did say too, that he's had one.
Yeah. Well, that's a touchy subject, man. I'm telling you.
I don't think vasectomy is a touchy subject. I guess with extremely religious people, it might be, but.
Oh, and it's not even a religious aspect with me. Like, I've thought about it, and it's probably not a bad idea because, you know, I love my daughter, and I thank the universe every day that I've had her in my life, but I certainly don't want any more kids. But I don't know, man. I'm telling you, there's something kind of creepy about being snip-snip.
There's nothing creepy about it. I mean, the act of having it done is kind of creepy because, let's see, can I keep this radio friendly? You're up in stirrups, and a strong man, in my case, was standing and going for my most protected region with a knife.
Yeah, that kind of freaks me out.
But it's actually a pretty uninvasive surgery these days. Leaves a really tiny scar, can be done. You know, it was done inpatient. You know, I had to have a friend drive me home because I was medicated, but they medicated me. But I actually got it done at Planned Parenthood in Marin County, right north of San Francisco, and had to go through a passel of anti-abortion protesters to get in the building.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of, well, I saw a Facebook meme about
and they were like saying stuff to me, and I was like, I'm here for a vasectomy, man. And, like, you know, a couple of them gave me a thumbs up, and a couple of them kind of, like, scorned at me, and most of them just kind of looked blank, like,
yeah, they don't know what to say.
Yeah. Well, because a lot of people believe that you know, as many kids as you can possibly have is a blessing. And that's not exclusively a Christian idea. I mean, that's very common with a lot of Jews. That's very common with a lot of Muslims. It's very common with Mormons. It's very common with some different groups of Christians. It's very common in Wyoming, to the point where there are people here who, like, are Christian and don't have jobs and are on welfare and keep having babies because they believe it's God's will, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of a little distorted. I mean,
and they vote Republican. These people vote Republican too. It's really weird.
Kind of blows my mind. I mean, I'm of kind of a mixed view. Like, I definitely place importance on family, but I also believe that family is not just blood. You know, it's not just
raw spirit, raw souls for, you know, the God mill. It's you got to raise them right.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it was kind of cool. Obviously, my parents split up when I was a year old, because my dad's gay, And, you know, it's always been kind of a weird thing or whatever. And my parents have had their ups and downs as far as that sort of thing goes. But they've kind of gotten past that now. And my mom and my sisters have come up to visit this year. And my dad had – he was camp sitting out on a lake. And he was like, oh, you guys should really come out. And we all went out, my daughter, her girlfriend, and my sisters, and my sister's boyfriend, and my mom, and my dad, and I. And we had such a good time. You know, it was like a family thing, and extended family, and it was just so great. You know, my sister and I paddled out to an island, and I haven't done that in a long time. Wow. I'll tell you, I was a little sore the next day. It was like 2 miles out to an island and back. Wow. You know, and I posted a bunch of pictures on Facebook and all that stuff.
Of course you did.
And yeah, of course, you know, it's family.
You can't just enjoy something. We can't just enjoy something these days without sharing it.
Well, you know, it's really funny. Okay, so you think that like it's kids that do that. They're always on their cell phones, right? So we're sitting out in my backyard having a couple beers and a fire. I think it was the second night my mom and my sisters were here, and we're having a great old time. And we're yakking away, and I look over at my mom, and I'm talking to her, and she's like tapping away on her phone. I'm like, Ma, come on. You're worse than a teenager on your phone, you know? And my mom's 56, so it was kind of funny watching her. Like, she's like, oh, I'm just sharing my pictures and checking my status,
well,
you know?
You know, when I was a kid, I mean, people took vacation pictures, and then they took them to the drugstore to be developed, and a week later they got them back and paid money to get them developed.
I remember those days.
You know, sometimes you'd get slides made and you'd put them in a slide carousel and have people come over and have a party and look at the vacation slides. And sometimes it was horrible and sometimes it was great, but it's kind of the same thing with the face beefs and the social networking. I've seen it in a bar in Wyoming. You know, we were driving out in the country somewhere and stopped in this cowboy bar to use the bathroom and get directions. And there were two, this was kind of funny. There were two like grizzled 60 something ranchers, like literally like real cowboys. Like when you picture the Marlboro Man, like he's some gay actor from, you know, LA, but like the guy he was trying to play. You know, this was the guys, and they were sitting in a bar, like, talking about some beef on Facebook. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends.
Or was it, what is it Bill says, annelids?
Yes, annelids.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $5
for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bathroom.
I have several windows in my bunker.
Yeah.
And it's still hot as heck in here.
I'm not really in a windowless bunker. That's kind of a joke. And it's more of a mental bunker. It's a bunker of the mind. You know,
I
have not left this state in 5 years, except to go to Porkfest. Well, no, actually once DJ and I went to... to see family a couple states over. But yeah, I haven't flown anywhere in like 7 or 8 years.
Oh yeah, man. I don't know how you did it, but yeah. So we were going on a tangent. I'm going to finish up my original thought that we were talking about with my kid. I always thought it was kind of cool when my kid was really young and I first got her. It was an adjustment thing, you know, switching homes and all that, split parents. And she used to get really frustrated going to sleep at night. And you know, you think like you'd play Barney or I don't know, some foolish music like that to put the kids to sleep. No, no. You know what my kid listened to go to sleep?
And it never fails.
That came later on. But when she was 2 years old, you know, four, right around there, 2 to 4, I used to put in
Freedom Fiends.
You guys weren't around yet. I used to put in Blizzard of Oz by Ozzy Osbourne, and it never failed to just set her right to sleep. She loved it.
I can tell you why it worked.
Because Randy Rhoads is awesome.
Nope. Because all Black Sabbath and all Ozzy Osbourne is pretty much one volume. So yeah, it doesn't seem loud if you play it quietly. Well, actually, it's two volumes. There's the occasional ballad, which is horrible, but that's not going to wake you up because it's quieter than the rock. But yeah, the way that stuff's produced, everything is, I wouldn't say over compressed, but everything is compressed individually and the whole thing is normalized and compressed in a way that I don't know how they did it before computers, because those records are loud as heck. And
yeah,
record. Do you know about the loudness wars?
No, go into that and then I want to ask you
something. Okay, really quickly. Over the years, recordings have gotten much louder. Like if you put a Britney Spears record on, it's like four times as loud as a Led Zeppelin record. It started when there was still vinyl. It was like basically it got to the point where, you know, they tried to compress everything so the peak volume was as high as could be, and it took away a lot of the dynamics and actually takes away a lot of the life of music. And it was done so songs would stand out on the radio, like when people are in the car and there's background noise. And it got even more extreme once there were digital formats like CDs, because you could just redline it right up to the, you know, like normalized to -10 dB to where, which is how I put out all the Fiends podcasts, actually.
Right. But that's spoken word. So it's totally different.
Yeah. And it totally works. So, but if you look at, Google, this is homework for anyone who's interested in audio nerdery. Google or go to Wikipedia and search the term the loudness war, and read and look at examples and look at, you know, like DAW screenshots and things like that of how music's changed in its production and volume over the years.
Well, but, yeah, it's interesting.
But Black Sabbath like pegged it before anyone was doing that. And Ozzy does it too.
Because Black Sabbath is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know if you heard, but I think it was the first two. It was Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman. Rudy Sarzo and I don't know if it was Tommy Aldridge, maybe not. Two of the band members, they had lawsuits against Ozzy, royalties and all that foolishness. So what they ended up having to do is they re-released those two albums with just the vocal and guitar tracks, and then they had session musicians come in and do the bass and drums.
You know, there's a theory that Paul McCartney did that to some of Ringo's drumming on the Beatles records.
I hadn't heard
that. Not because of royalties. Ringo never got any royalties. It was all John, you know, Lennon McCartney, except for like Octopus's Garden or some crap like that. But yeah, it was because they didn't like his drumming. It's a rumor, but it could be true.
It could be. Yeah, so this is one of the reasons that I love the Freedom Fiends.
Aww.
Because we hear all this cool audio stuff, like tips, tricks, history.
Yeah, man. I mean,
you guys should check it out because it's great.
This isn't a general interest show. It's a specific interest show on hundreds of subjects.
Right, and it varies from host to host.
It really does. Awesome. But it's always about liberty, man. And this is what radio would be like in LibPair. Like, everybody else is doing the, we got too much tyranny. But, you know, I want to do the radio that would exist if the government was already gone. That's what this is.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we should practice living now. So.
Yeah, man.
Right on.
Someone's got to do it. It's an easy, fun job, but someone's got to do it. We'll be back with Hour 2 of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
Worms.
Annelids.
Yeah. This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
This is Michael Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless toilet.
No, a windowless bunker.
It sounded like it was in the toilet.
Somewhere in Wyoming. And I say that because we added two new stations, and one of them's in Wyoming. This hour of this show, five nights a week, is now heard on KYDT in Sundance, Wyoming, which is what, you know, the Sundance Kid is named after, Sundance, Wyoming, and KBFS in Rapid City, South Dakota, which has a pretty large coverage area too, and also covers the Sturgis, where they have the Sturgis rally, motorcycle rally, and it covers those dead guys up on the stone. What's it called? Mount Rushmore. So,
Mount Rushmore.
If you're ever at Mount Rushmore at 4 a.m. on a weeknight, bring a radio and listen to the Freedom Fiends.
I'll try to get there and do that.
I would love to see a picture of someone doing that. So what's on your mind there, Chandler?
St. Pierre. All sorts of stuff. Hey, what's your wrestling name?
The Iron Hamster, man. I was the original.
Iron Hamster. Yeah, you were
the original. Because this is the show for the nighttime show is for people who are up with a hamster in their brain, which is a saying that means, you know, you can't sleep because there's something occupying your mind, like a hamster running around on a hamster wheel and a squeaky
hamster
wheel.
And that was certainly the case tonight, man. You know, I told you I usually take a nap.
You have a hamster in your brain? Hamster got your brain, Chandler?
Oh, man, the hamster is running wild tonight, I'm telling you. But, yeah, man, it's I slept like, I don't know, I haven't had much sleep in the last, I'd say, week and a half. I don't think I've gotten to sleep before 12 or 1 a.m. So, and tonight I wanted to do the nap thing because I knew I had to get up and do the show. But it didn't happen. But that's all right because I'm feeling the energy, man. I'm feeling a lot.
Yeah, cool. Well, we're gonna play some audio and discuss it. I don't know if this is something Lusander Fien posted. He posted some lists today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was this. And I was really intrigued by this. It's pretty funny. It's called The 25 Strangest Things Banned by Governments Around the World. And it's a YouTube channel I really like called List 25. And
I'll
it's got audio lists of 25 of the biggest of the blankest of the world. You know, I'm not cussing. I'm saying, like, you know, everything is the 25 something is something's done something by something, you know. So here's 25 strangest things banned by governments around the world. And we'll play individual things and then discuss them and then go back to more. So here we go.
Number 25, China banned game consoles. In 2000, the Chinese government enacted the ban to prevent youth from wasting their time and not working. Number 24, Russia banned emo clothing. The government dubbed the style a threat to national stability and banned emo fashion in an attempt to bring down the high suicide rate among teens.
Okay, there's two.
banned video game consoles and suicide
and emo clothing. Yeah, the emo clothing thing really stands out as ridiculous because I would say that, you know, dark subcultures probably keep kids from killing themselves, and I would say video games probably keep kids from killing themselves because it gives them something to do. I mean, you know, what's the option? Is like wear the clothes your parents tell you to wear and sit and read the Bible, you know, I mean, do nothing.
Well, I can see why they're banned, though, because you got to figure the communist collectivist mentality that permeates China, although it's subsiding. They don't want that sort of individualism permeating the youth. So, of course, they're going to try to ban it. And what's going to happen? You're going to have the what do they call it? The Barbara Streisand effect.
Yeah.
So the more you start to regulate and ban and say this is forbidden, people will embrace it more and more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the main reasons drugs are popular, other than people really like the way they feel, is the fact that they're illegal. I really believe that, at least with hard drugs, I think if they were legal, less people would do them. That's just my theory. Well,
I think you've kind of hit onto something that's a little right there, because I remember when I was a teenager and I actually consumed illegal substances, which I don't. Yeah, I know. How horrible, huh? But part of the lure originally was because it was forbidden. It was taboo. It was something that you weren't supposed to do.
It was the Streisand effect before the internet.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, obviously later it became a more spiritual thing for me anyway. I never did hard drugs. I heard you talk about your addictions and the things you went through, and I obviously can't relate because I never went through that. I was more into LSD and those sorts of things. But it was more of a spiritual thing. But originally, yeah, it started because people didn't do that sort of thing, and it was forbidden. And, you know, I was one of those kids that walked down the halls, and they were like, oh, he's the one that does all that stuff. He's the weirdo, you know. So
yeah. I wasn't even doing all that stuff, and I was the kid that parents told their kids to stay away from just because I was really into not accepting authority. I was very vocal at a very young age against anybody telling me to do anything.
Well, you know, it's funny because I remember you and Nima talking about that, and also Ben Stone. You guys had all proposed this theory that libertarians aren't created. They're born that way, and they just need to be exposed to the right media and environments to foster that. And I totally believe that because – I was like that as a youth, too. I went to Catholic school, and I got kicked out of Catholic school, as a matter of fact.
I got kicked out of Episcopal boarding school.
Yeah, and it was that rejection of the status quo. It was that rejection of what was it, the precedent. I remember you guys talking the other night about wearing the Kill the Precedent t-shirt, and that's exactly what it was. Just
and that's precedent. For those central scrutinizer goons listening, he said precedent, not president.
I wouldn't waste my energy doing anything to the president. He can do whatever he wants.
I mean, the idea of shooting your way out of tyranny
is ridiculous.
When it's such an entrenched tyranny, it might make sense if it's like, 10 people coming into your yard or something. But with an entrenched government, I mean, it's the person is not you can't kill the office, you know?
Exactly.
So it doesn't do it. It's like a hydra. You cut off one leg and two more grow.
Well, and it's a theme that I've learned through my exposure to various liberty medias, such as the Freedom Fiends and Bad Quaker and Stefan Molyneux. And I really believe that it's something that we need to foster in the youth, in ourselves as well. But we need to outgrow this need that people seem to have.
The way I look at it is that the idea of an armed revolution is very grandpa thinking. It's very, in 1775, and yeah, I know history. I didn't say 1776. In 1775, when the Revolutionary War started, a rifled, long gun was pretty much the pinnacle of technology. And now Bitcoin and encryption and the internet and podcasting and radio are doing radio over the internet, and I think that's the pinnacle of technology, and it's growing in leaps and bounds, and who knows where it's going to be in 5 years. I mean, in 5 years,
where do you think it'll be in 5 years?
I'm hoping you'll have an app on your phone that'll just like put a shield around you and keep the state away.
Well, that's what's going to happen when the aliens from the Alpha Centauri region here, the Freedom Fiends,
I really want to
help us.
I really want to get back on another 50,000 watt station, because we were on that one in Fargo for the first like 9 months. And then, I think that has more of a chance of reaching Alpha Centauri in some distant readable way than some of the smaller ones were on. But, you know, I don't know if we really need to get back on there because we were pretty brilliant in those first 9 months. So they'll hear that. Yeah. Yeah. No, come save Nima and leave me to die. So you want to hear the next one of these?
I do.
Yeah. 25 strangest things banned by governments around the world.
Number 23, Iran banned Western haircuts. Banned styles include mullets, ponytails, and spikes. Number 22, Saudi Arabia banned Valentine's Day. The ban included restrictions on anything and everything red being sold on Valentine's Day. It has led, however, to a thriving black market. Number
I'm not surprised that, you know, two predominantly Muslim-run countries banned Western things. And, you know, a lot of the bad press that Islam gets, I think, is based on what the governments do rather than the individuals do. And the individuals who do crazy stuff, who are violent stuff, who are really in the tiny, tiniest minority.
And usually fostered and educated and the employee
by the CIA. Yeah, yeah. They're just trying to be a state. They're just trying to be a government. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I find it interesting. The red thing, the Valentine thing is interesting. I mean, I started to sense a trend. The hairstyles, the video games, the emo stuff. That's all reflections of individualism. So, of course, the state will try to ban that sort of thing.
Yeah. And the I don't know what the exact reason that I know why Iran banned Western hairstyles. It was because they didn't want Western influence. But Saudi Arabia banning Valentine's Day and anything red being sold on Valentine's Day. I don't know. I'm guessing it's probably got something to do with, yeah, like individuality and putting, you know, family or loved ones over the nation.
Yeah. I mean, love is an important key.
Love is states don't like love because love makes you feel completely irrational and erases any kind of need for, you know, it puts you in your own world.
Think about it this way. You remember reading 1984 when Winston and his lady friend were
doing
it. Okay. I was trying to think of radio.
They suddenly didn't need the state, and then he had to be shot, right?
Spoiler alert. They were in each other's embrace, and all that mattered at that moment was the two of them. The state and its control mechanisms, their jobs, none of that mattered. And the state doesn't want that sort of elation, that sort of freedom. So I can see why the Valentine's thing, even though I think Valentine's is kind of a crock and a commercial thing, I can see why they would try to regulate and ban that sort of thing.
Yep. We'll have more of things governments have banned when we get back on the Freedom Fiends after we go to the market and buy some red things.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening.
Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Bathroom. Not really. I'm not in a bathroom.
So I figure next time we do the show together, I'm going to grab my laptop and do it from the bathroom. See how it sounds.
Oh, please don't. So Chandler St. Pierre and I are talking about things. What is your website and your podcast? Do you want to give it out? Can you give it out? I don't even know if you can.
Sure. Okay. Yes. It is called... The website is flightofthebastards.com.
Okay, I guess you can say that once in context. Go ahead.
Yes, it's in context.
I don't know if you can say the name of the show, though.
Yeah, well, if you click on the website, you'll see the podcast archive. And we've been kind of slacking lately because it's summertime and we're living life, man. And, you know, we don't we've been trying to do the consistent every week thing, but... The three of us have so much going on. But I do think we're going to do another podcast.
It's tough doing what I do, doing six live shows a week, man. And
I don't know how you do it, man. Seriously, like, we have a hard time getting together to do one a week.
I don't know how I do it because I'm not making much money at it. Free Talk Live do it, but they make a good living at it, and they deserve to. They've been doing it for 10 years. But, yeah, man, it's tough sometimes. I'm barely scraping by doing this, but I love doing it, and I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can. So we're going to go back to the 25 strangest things banned throughout history by governments around the world. We're playing two at a time and then commenting on them. Here we go.
21. Greece banned video games. Although intended to be against electronic gambling machines, the law was written very broadly and led to the arrest of someone playing a video game in an internet cafe. After pressure from the EU, the law was eventually changed.
Okay, let's stop with that one. Think about
again.
That. Yeah, law written indistinctly, and it was to ban online poker and things like that, but it was written so broadly that not only could it allow the police to arrest someone for playing video games, they went and did it, you know, because they're like, we're the police. We don't make laws. We just enforce them, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you see that a lot, too, where laws are I think it's intentionally written broadly so that they can.
So they can. Yeah. But more and more they do.
Yeah. I mean, they write them broadly so that they can enforce and collect and cage and all that great stuff intentionally. You know, they say, oh, it's for X, Y, and Z because we need to prevent that because it's detriment to society. Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, I posted it on Facebeef today. There was, I know you got me saying that now. It's killing me. But I posted this article. It was in New Hampshire. And this lady saw a bunch of ducks crossing the interstate or one of the main highways, and she stopped in the median in the middle of the road and helped the ducks across so that they wouldn't get hit. You know, cool, really cool thing, humane to do. And a state trooper went and gave her $100 fine.
For stopping for smuggling wildlife?
Well, yeah, I'm sure they could have said that too. It was for stopping in the median, which was considered unsafe driving and all that happy stuff. But it just shows, and my whole point was, if you think that the police are there to protect you and to maintain law and order, you're delusional.
Yeah.
You're totally delusional. The police exist to generate revenue for the state and enforce the policies that help deprive us of our liberties. And I got a few comments like, ooh, harsh words. And it's like calling the police what they are is harsh. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that all cops are bad. I mean, there is probably like one or two cops that are okay and are still moral. But for the most part, they're indoctrinated. And the state troopers are the worst. I don't know if you know this, Michael, but a lot of do you know where the state troopers originally started from? At least in Maine.
National Guard?
No. Actually, well, in Maine, and I believe this is in most states, the state troopers were actually protective detail for the governor.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. And did you know that The Secret Service was originally the protective detail for the Treasury and for the money, not for the president.
I heard that. I didn't know if that was true or not.
Yeah, it was after Lincoln that they became the guards, okay. the royal guards for the king.
Of course, it was after Lincoln. We don't like Lincoln. He's a very bad president.
Yeah, and that's that. Him being assassinated is really good proof of, like, bullets change nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, like, you know, because look what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to use your mind bullets, man, not your lead bullets. Lead bullets are for thugs and deer.
Yep.
We'll be back. And they're fun. Don't leave home without them. But I'm not a gun guy. It's like, you know, I'm not a cell phone guy, but I bring a cell phone and a gun with me when I leave the house.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, talking to Chandler St. Pierre. Hello, Chandler St. Pierre.
Hello, Michael Dean.
Did you have a good good break?
I did. Went pee-pee-kitty.
You went pee-pee-kitty. Did you, I went and checked on my pee-pee-kitty, my cat that is in, she had to come in from the backyard, but she lives in the yard, man. She's an indoor cat, but she's an outdoor cat. We have a fenced-in yard, and I can watch her out the window with the porch light on. And she just likes to spend the summer out there, man. She does not like to be in. And in the winter, she doesn't go out very much because it's really cold, and she's 16. And she gets really feisty and fights with the other cats. she like chases the younger cats around and goes, meow.
Yeah, my kitty just finally joined me. I've been wondering where he is, because usually when I'm doing the show, he's right up in my lap. But my kitten, I don't know if you've seen the pictures we posted on Facebeef, but my kid's kitten is, it was so funny. I have my office, there's a window and it leads out to the back porch.
Yeah.
Porch, and I usually leave that open. So she crawls out the back porch, and then there was a hole in one of the screens on my back porch. So we're all sitting out in the yard a couple of days ago, and she climbed out the screen. And I'm sitting there, and I hear this meow, and I look over, and she's roaming around the yard. So I put her back in, and she does it again. So I said, Faith, you got to come get your cat, man. She's roaming around and whatever. So I taped up the screen, and the poor kitten's like sitting there going, meow, meow, flipping out hard. So we took her out and let her run around the yard, and she had so much fun. And I've never seen a cat run around outside. She literally was panting like a dog. Every single picture I took of her, she has her tongue out. She laid down on the ground and looked up at me, and she has her tongue out. I was like, crazy kitta.
Yeah, cats are up. Cats are outstanding. I really like them. You know, there's a picture.
They are.
They do get really needy sometimes. There's a picture that I've seen of a kitten, like, with its nose up to a closed door. You know, an indoor door, like a bathroom door, and it says, the cat looks sad, and it says, it harms me when you shut the bathroom door. And that's exactly how our cats act. Like, if you go in the bathroom and shut the door, they want to follow you in there, which is
yes,
how the phrase pee-pee kitty came up. It actually came up because pee-pee kitty is French for cat pee, which is the French nickname for American coffee because it's so weak compared to French coffee.
So is it now?
Yeah. Yeah, they all drink like syrup. So they call it pee-pee kitty.
But, I made coffee like that once when I went camping.
But somehow on the Freedom Fiends, it has become – it means to go to the bathroom. I have to go pee-pee kitty. And our cats do follow us in the bathroom. They want to come and, you know, guard us or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. I never close the door, and my cat's always coming, meow. I'm like, all right, keep me company while I'm in here.
Yep.
Sounds good.
So I want to call this episode Governments Are So Square, which is a phrase.
That's a given, though, man.
I don't know if I've ever actually used that. Nima and I kind of started saying square for, you know, statist. But I'm really surprised to find I searched the phrase governments are so square in quotes on Google, and nothing came up. No one has ever typed that into the internet. It's
see, I've said that more than once on face beef. Yeah, Twitter.
That's well, maybe the governments are keeping your face beefs from being categorized into the worldwide Googleplex.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I posted a link today, just one of the random tyranny today's that I've been posting less and less frequently now. I'm more into photography and poetry.
There you go.
But I posted one about, you know, how they're tracking and tracing and the database of potential, I think it's, what do we call now, terrorists or something, is
citizens,
growing.
Citizens, yeah.
Yeah, well, more, is growing and growing. And my friend, he's a Native American cat, and he posted, my FBI file is bigger than yours, neener, neener. I was like, darn.
I actually sent away for mine about 10 years ago and nothing came back. I wonder if something would now. I kind of don't want to.
I think it would. You're a liberty activist now, man. I'm pretty sure they've got something.
I don't feel like a liberty activist because I don't go to events. You know, I just sit in my bedroom and yak into it. I mean, I feel like
we're the new terrorists, man.
I'm not a terrorist.
It's not the folks that go out and do the protests. It's the folks that create media that people consume that are considered more dangerous now.
Why do you say
to
that?
The state.
What makes you think that?
Well, okay, so you go to – I mean, I went – when the Occupy Wall Street rally first started picking up steam, I went – and there's a whole story behind that, but we won't go into tonight. But I went to a few. I shot some video and did some audio, posted – I think I posted it on YouTube. I'm not sure. So, yeah, you get a few people watching that. But when you start doing podcasts and radio shows and you start going on LRN and GCN and getting picked up and reposted all over Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all those sites, you're much more of a threat because you're actually reaching people. And if you're not just screaming about how horrible the government is, but you're actually laughing at it and you're having fun while you're doing it, you're even more dangerous in their eyes.
Wow. I guess that was a childhood dream of mine, to be dangerous without really being dangerous. It really was, which is, I think saying that would probably get you more on a list. But, you know, I read the book Steal This Book by Abby Hoffman when I was 12. And
I stole that book from the library.
I didn't steal that book. Someone stole it from me, though. Yeah. That was like, that title was the greatest like meme marketing campaign ever, but it served to spread the book, but it didn't really serve to sell the book. Like, a lot of stores would not take it because people kept stealing it and they'd have to pay for it. But
I couldn't believe that book was in my middle school library, honestly. I can't believe it was.
Are you sure someone didn't just sneak it there? Was it in their system or not?
I don't know. It had the library stamp in the back and it was in the plastic cover. Maybe somebody did sneak it in there and put it in there. I picked it up to read it and just forgot to bring it back. I didn't really steal it.
I really liked that book because it was blatantly anti-authoritarian and basically said, you know, everything the government's telling you is wrong. What I did not like about it was the collectivism and the violence. I don't know. The collectivism didn't bother me at the time because I didn't really know why collectivism was bad and I didn't feel a part of anything. And this was like people who were a part of something new and scary. So that seemed intriguing to me, but I really didn't like the violence in it. Like that book, you know, that's the thing of like, there's all these, you know, this big discussion of like, oh, people are talking about, oh, should you shoot cops? And it's like, when I was 12 years old, I was reading books that like told you to shoot cops and I didn't like it. You know, like literally the people that are out talking about shooting cops, like literally, literally before those fools were born, I was reading stuff like that and I had already decided that's wrong, you know? So I didn't like that aspect of it, but I really liked a lot of the, that book has a lot about kind of like pre-computer hacking. Like it has things about getting around systems with different tricks. And I really liked that aspect of it.
Well, that's one of the reasons I loved Ben Stone's five-part series, Beyond Civil Disobedience, because it was getting around the systems.
There's actually a picture in that book. It's a drawing. It's done by, I think it's Gilbert Sheldon is the guy's name, who did, I think he did the Fabulous Three Freak Brothers, and he did some of the drawings for that book. And one of the drawings in that book, because he did a comic book of Fat Freddy, like those guys were kind of like, you know, three guys who, you know how every sitcom is like, you know, five friends who live together in an apartment and have hilarious adventures. Like,
right.
That's an old thing. I mean, that goes back to like the Dick Van Dyke Show, but really that comic book from the 60s, Fat Freddy's Cat, it was like three misfits who shared an apartment and had wacky adventures. It was like a soap opera for hippies, and it was funny. They had the spinoff of Fat Freddy's Cat, who always liked to poop in Freddy's headphones and things like that. And Fat Freddy's Cat was probably smarter than Fat Freddy. But, there's a picture drawn by that guy in Steal This Book by Abbie Hoffman. That's, they have a section on like pirate radio, or they call it revolutionary radio. And, by that time I already had the radio bug. I already wanted to like speak to the masses. And when I was a kid, the only way to do that was like through, you know, books or the radio, you know. I mean, radio seemed attainable, television didn't. And there's a picture in there of like, it's a kind of jokey, cartoony drawing of a bunch of hippies doing pirate radio. And they're like, there's like 25 people in this room about the size of my bedroom, you know, tiny, you know, small room, medium sized room. And they're like screaming into a microphone, like demanding the abolition of the state. And, there's like one of them has a shotgun and one of them has like, there's like a marijuana leaf flag in the background. And, I was like, I want to do that, you know, and be dangerous and do radio and have the government not like me. And who would have thought, you know, if you would have told me when I was 10 or, you know, 12 in 1976, and I read this book, that, you know, when I was 50, I would be doing that on government controlled radio. That's mind blowing, man.
It is.
It really is.
You know, it's funny because I was talking to somebody about this earlier. I in high school we had to take a speech class, and I of course skipped out of that, and I never liked giving presentations. I never liked speaking in front of a crowd, and this person thought that was amusing because I do podcasts and I guest on the Freedom Fiends with you. And I was like, well, you know, it's kind of you are speaking to the world, but it's different because you're speaking from behind a computer screen microphone.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, when we did the abortion debate at Porkfest, I was terrified.
Really?
Like, well, you remember my opening statement. I was like, yeah, I'm Chandler St. Pierre, and I have no idea why they asked me to come up here, you know? I was totally terrified. I'm glad I don't know. Speaking in front of a crowd was exhilarating, but at the same time, it was quite terrifying. It took a lot to do it. So it's totally different doing it on the radio and podcasting from this environment.
Yeah, I say in my Creamy Radio audio ad, I wrote this copy that I really like, and I've used it since then in some things, and I think it's going to open my Kindle book that I'm writing about how to podcast. It's the most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. And really, that's what radio is, whether there's, you know, 10 people listening or 10 million, you're alone doing it, which is kind of like being a writer. I really like this thing that Steve Elliott said in my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. He said that he became a writer because it's like speaking to people but being alone. And I have no problem speaking to a crowd, man. You've seen me do it. I'm like, whatever. I'm not
soak it in, man.
I'm not excellent at it. Like, I can't give a 4-hour speech like Bill Buford, but I'm totally comfortable with it. But I like this better. I could do this every day. Oh wait, I do. We'll be back.
You do.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Windowless bunker. You know the rest. You know what kind of bunker I'm in. This is Michael Dean talking to Chandler St. Pierre. And we got one segment left. Man, time flies when you're having Chandler.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does, man. I feel like we're only at the end of the first hour, but we're at the end of the second hour. And I'm so glad we had this time together. Just to sing a song and tell a lie or two. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long. All right, so so we're going to play a little bit of more of the 25 strangest things banned by government around the world from the YouTube site List 25. Here we go.
Number 20. China banned reincarnation without prior consent. As crazy as it sounds, this is China's way of trying to control the Tibetan Buddhists. Number 9.
Man, that is...
That's ridiculous. Control the Tibetan Buddhists. Yeah.
By banning reincarnation. Don't you dare reincarnate without written permission from the state.
That is like collectivist absurdity. That is
the squarest ever. Yeah, it's like... banning something, you know, it's not banning discussing reincarnation or worshiping in a way that believes reincarnation. It's banning reincarnation. It's basically saying you can't get to, you know, your goal in your religion in something that isn't provable without permission from the state. I mean, that's like having a license to go to heaven or something in the West.
Yeah, I don't think that'll work very well.
All right, what's next? Let's see.
Denmark banned fortified foods. In Denmark, there's apparently a strong fear in some circles of consuming too many vitamins. Unfortunately, this has led to the banning of many popular products such as Ovaltine and Rice Krispies. Number 18.
Really?
Romania banned Scrabble. In the 80s, Romanian president Nicolae Ceaușescu had the game banned and described it as overly intellectual and a subversive evil. Number 17.
Wow.
Okay. You can't play that. You're too smart. We don't want you that smart. We don't want you using your brain is what that's saying.
So can you imagine
basically.
If Cards Against Humanity was out then, what that guy would have thought?
Yeah, man. Although, I don't know if Cards Against Humanity is particularly intellectual.
Well, it's fun.
It's fun and it's really dark. Yeah, for those who don't know, that's a game. It's what's the normal game it's a variation on?
Apples to apples.
Apples to apples, yeah. And it's like apples to apples for degenerates or something like that. Okay, let's see what else.
Are you calling me a degenerate?
I'm calling you and most of my friends degenerates. I saw a lot of that going on at Porkfest.
Oh yeah. So we never talked about that.
Oh yeah, you want to talk about your you want to ask me a question.
Well, so what did you think of the Porkfest podcast abomination?
The one that you guys did without my audio expertise, it was, I listened to about a minute of it and went, this sounds horrible, and turned it off.
When?
Well, you guys are really drunk too.
Yeah. No, you know what it was though. Honestly, what it was.
Go ahead, man. Over.
Well, what it was is we had two microphones and nine people sitting around at a small card table. And
I could make that work.
I could have too, but we had technical problems from the start. And Lou was smart. He kept the microphone in his hand at most times. And it was really hard to normalize that because I had a microphone split up between about six people. And Lou covered the other three. And so he came out really clear and loud. And the rest of us were kind of just hovering over the mic. So I had to like normalize it and go bit by bit. And it was tough. But you know what, man? I know it sounds horrible. And that's why I called it an abomination. But it was so much fun. And we actually, some guy came up to our site and said, "Hey, man, you know, it's one in the morning. You guys got to quiet down."
That was so Fiends got two noise complaints at Porkfest, and I don't think anyone else did, as far as I know. And I'm like the quietest neighbor you could have, man.
Yeah. Well, it was fun. Well, we went down to the media room and tried to continue the show, and my laptop Bill Gates'd on me. So
Bill Gates,
that was the end of it.
Was it a Mac laptop or a Bill Gates?
It was a Mac laptop too.
Yep. Well, you know that. That he bailed out to Apple at some point. So maybe he does have a kill switch in Apple's.
I bet he does.
Maybe.
It's a conspiracy.
Who knows? We'll be back tomorrow night on the Freedom Fiends. All right,
man. It's good. Great chatting with you.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you very much,
Worms.
Chandler. Worms. Thanks, Kyle.
Freedom is only
Thank
one
you for your service, Kyle.
Later, dude.
Worms.
Later.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and friends.
Not your grandpa's talk radio.
The Freedom Fiends, armed and peaceful, as it should be.
From a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location.
Freedom Fiends, tasing you with liberty.
Every Saturday morning from 11 to 1 on Alamo AM 1230.